As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the Monday edition of Sean and RJ. Ralph James Choppy still on vacation for the honeymoon. I'm Sean Treif alongside Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back, and we are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Nice little chilly morning here to start off post-Easter.
Not so nice, but yes, it is chilly. I don't like whenever I'm not prepared at all. So, like, I had to go back in and get this. And then I had to, actually use the heater a little bit to actually defrost the windows. And I don't like that aspect of it. So, but
defrost
other than that, yeah.
Defrost the windows.
Yeah, it created, like, this, it was also, like, this combo of, like, frost and, like, dew. And so, it's one of those things where I have to roll down and roll up the window a few times just to be able to see out of it.
Start with the breaking news, as Peyton texted us this morning that Pope Francis has died at the age of 88. They paused all the soccer after the Vatican announcement, and there's RJ Choppy in Italy as we speak.
Yeah, which there had been...
Crossing the border, he said, going from Switzerland... I'm revealing the group text.
I was going to say, does his aunt know he did this?
Going from Switzerland to Italy is like going from Highland Park to Garland. Shots fired. I'm out towards... the Garland way, but apparently we're going downhill with Choppy's trip to the homeland.
Man, this is something where there had been a lot of chatter about Pope Francis potentially being sick over, I feel like, what, like the last 3 months we kept hearing rumors about stuff. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, 12 years there in the papacy. In fact, he had just, when was it? Yeah, it was just last month was the anniversary of his 12 years. And so now we get the black and white smoke. We get to find a new pope.
What have you been noticing from RJ's trip? To me, the first thing that jumps out is the dress attire and clothing that he has been forced into, where he's wearing like dress shirts and jeans out and about because, you know, they read some type of travel guide and said you can't wear your warm-up pants, you can't have the leisure wear, Peyton. You may get robbed, you may get pickpocketed, but there's RJ Choppy dressing up for the occasion every single day while walking and sightseeing.
Well, I told RJ before he left, I said, look, if you're going to walk around, don't dress up in jeans and everything. I mean, if you're going someplace, that's different, but like if you're wearing jeans and you're walking for 4 or 5 hours, it's miserable, man. But the weather's nice, you know, I got screwed with the hot weather out there. He's got nice weather, but he got the little crossbody fanny pack going. So.
Yeah, the purse.
Yeah.
That's what I noticed.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, gosh.
And he was doing something the other day where McKenzie pointed this out because, you know, obviously we had gone to Italy, so we've gone through all this experience.
Wow.
But he was getting water of a fountain, and he was like, oh, it's so pure here. They just spit out of the fountain. I was like, that's just their water fountains in Italy, man. Like, it's nothing special, but that's just how they do it.
Did he drink the water?
I think so. He was filling up his water bottle.
Okay, I'll try and get this picture, and then because it was in, I'll send it to Aiden, but that's... Choppy's little crossbody purse that he's wearing. He's walking around. I will say, he has, the thing that stood out to me is that how clearly aware and terrified he is of being considered the loud American. Because, you know, when he's here and he does his videos, it's very like,
Choppy here!
No, not that.
Doesn't want more Choppy here!
He's sitting in these little cafes going, Choppy here, we are in the... Like, he's like whispering, like he's doing an ASMR video.
Yeah.
That's what I noticed, is that he clearly doesn't want to lean into his normal character. I don't know if it's because he got checked on Friday by John and now he feels exposed and so he's changing things up, or if it's just he doesn't want to be seen as the loud American tourist. But that's the thing that stood out to me.
So there's RJ Choppy. I don't know whether there is a wall or not, but he's crossing on over from Switzerland to Italy. Was everyone else wearing jeans walking around like high fashion, just higher class city?
Yeah, I think a lot of people that... It just depends where you're from, I guess, and your attire, dress, and moving forward. But it was just so hot when we went because it was fine to wear, like, you know, khaki shorts. Like, you could wear that, like, nice shorts to wear. No one was wearing athletic gear, but, you know, jeans were... It was so hot. So you didn't see a ton of that.
I'm looking at two people directly behind him who are wearing, like, athletic pants, like track pants. So I don't know what in the world y'all are talking about, but he is walking around in blue jeans in this one photo. Yeah, so yeah.
Which he hates. I know he hates.
Oh, and then he's also got the hoodie, like the same exact one that he criticizes Leody Taveras for running around wearing on the field. It's like, well, you're not supposed to play baseball in it. That's ridiculous. And so, yeah.
He did say the Yankees were popular out there, though. He saw a bunch of Yankees hats and Celtics.
Yeah.
Does he mean Americans are popular?
Different colored ones, like a red and a yellow. So there's their American sports representation. So Pope Francis passing away at the age of 88. Speaking of baseball, the series against the Dodgers ends with some controversy.
0-1. There goes the runner. The pitch is taken. The throw to second base is late. Langford in there with a steal. He comes off the bag, and he's tagged out. Now, the Rangers will argue that he was pushed off the bag. And we will see what happens here.
After the call on the field stands, the runner is out.
And there you have it. The game is over.
And Rangers Twitter not happy with this, Bob, right afterwards, as this ends the game and ends the series with the tying man on second base.
Rightfully so. You should not be happy because Wyatt Langford was safe. I guess I would understand it if we didn't have a view other than the first couple ones that we had seen where it looked like, oh, okay, was there just a moment where the arm came through? Or, I understand it was called a certain way. How are you supposed to be able to say, man, he's out because, or how are you able to say he's safe if the call on the field was out? No, not on this one. That center field camera they have that Aiden's running right now. He's, anytime they have the glove on him, he's on the base.
Because the number one moment in this to judge is when his left knee goes up when the right foot comes off the bag. And was there any application of the glove on Wyatt? And now I'm looking and I'm like, okay, is it the right leg coming down with the glove tagging him before he comes down and makes contact? Or did that right toe even leave the base?
So he's up off the base a little bit there, but when he comes back down is when you finally see like kind of the recoil of his glove touching his leg. And so he's already on base. To me, that's 100% clear he's safe from that shot. Now, all the other ones we had, I understand if you're like, it was called a certain way, you have to leave it that way. But that's clear to me. And I would imagine Major League Baseball has that view. But again, they love the Dodgers and they're going to let the Dodgers do whatever they want.
And Aiden has this on the fan cam, Twitch and YouTube. They were speculating on TV, was it going to be one of those things, whatever's called on the field, it's going to be too tough to reverse, and that's what they ended up deciding. But yeah, I think you have to rule this safe.
It is a little bit...
he's more safe than out.
The other part of this is also what, when I was complaining about this to you before the show started, and then I just eventually said, you know what though, you just score a run before the ninth inning, and maybe we're not losing our minds about this. Just score once, yeah. Score one time before then. That'd be lovely if you could do that. But look, I mean, you were right there, with the Dodgers.
Three runs in the series in three games.
Yeah, that's not awesome. and the fact that you know, DeGrom had issues on Friday night, gave up another home run.
Well,
I mean, he pitched well overall, but he was not DeGrom, and he's having issues with the home run ball right now. So that's a problem. The fact that the offense just goes to sleep at random points again is a major problem.
More than random points, it feels like.
Yeah, it's
me.
Just, I guess if you're not playing the Angels, then the offense goes to sleep. But, I mean, it's another frustrating weekend. It was nice to see Adolis finally run into one, but, I mean, if you don't get that Adolis walk-off, you get swept.
What do you think DeGrom's ERA is?
Shoot, I have no 5.5.
3.32.
That seems ridiculous.
3.32, that is a loud buzz, deservedly so, Pepe. But yeah, you'd think it was higher. You'd think it was a little bit higher based upon the way we're talking, but he's gone from 4 to 3. And the other day, 7 innings, 1 earned on a home run game.
Now, I would bet. Okay, so yeah. See, I was about to say, I would bet his fielding independent pitching is way higher than his ERA right now. And it is. It's 5.29 because he has walked some guys more than he normally does. He's given up. What is he up to now? He's up to 5 home runs in 21 innings pitched this year. So he's having trouble with the long ball. He's had some issues with his typical command. He's not over that strikeout per inning that he's been throughout his entire career. Obviously, way early in the season, so I'm not saying this is already done. But if you look at his entire career, right now through 4 starts, this is the lowest strikeout per 9 inning of his career.
The brightest spot, Tyler Mahle with a .68 ERA. The Tolo's asking, I think you did last week, will Mahle's ERA be higher than Jock Peterson's average? It's a .68 ERA, the lowest over a pitcher's first 5 starts of a season in franchise history, according to Jared Sandler. Jared will join us at 9 ahead of Rick Honeycutt's .72 in 1983. He has the best ERA in Major League Baseball, .68 for Tyler.
And that's lower than Jock Peterson's batting average, right, Sean?
No,
it's not. His .55. I mean, you're genuinely, I said last week as a joke when he was .86 or whatever his batting average was. I was like, I've blown .86 before. We're genuinely getting close to numbers people we know have blown before. He's .55. He's .055 is his batting average right now. What did you think this weekend, by the way? I know I heard Bassick on TV talking about he liked it. I think Sandler talked with G-Bag during the pregame saying they liked it. But what did you think in general about the, all right, let's boost his confidence a little bit. Let's, when he comes up this, you know, for at bat this weekend, we're going to give him a standing ovation. Like a genuine, like, encourage the guy.
No, too early for that.
Too early to
that's encourage. What they were suggesting?
No, they were this weekend. When he would come up, they were giving him the ovation.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. I'm not going to kill it, but little lame. The Rangers are now last in Major League Baseball, tied with the Kansas City Royals for runs scored, 67 runs.
April 2nd was the last time that he had a hit, Jock Peterson. So since then, what's he up to? I mean, we're talking about he's gone essentially like 40 straight at-bats without a hit.
All right, Todd Newton, tie goes to the runner. It's not even close. He's safe. Is this the same game? So you got the Tolos weighing in with Aiden in that Wyatt Langford replay. Bruce Bochy gave his thoughts after.
Well, from the dugout, watching down the board, we thought it would get overturned. I haven't looked at it again, but it looked like his foot came down before he got the tag on him. But again, that's without looking at it, you know, from some, I guess, a couple different angles. So didn't get overturned, and, you know, tough call at that time of the game, but still, you know, we just got to start getting some runs on the board. You know, we didn't get a hit today with runners in scoring position, and you're seeing tough pitching. You get it, but still, you got to find a way.
Yeah, got to score a run. Got to score a run, and I know RJ says wait till 30 games. I'm not waiting that long. We're 22 games in. Chris Young has to be thinking offense somewhere, somehow. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I mean, and Chris Young has always been such an aggressive general manager and an aggressive team builder that, yeah, I think you're right. I would assume he's already looking and going, where's the solution? Even if not now, I got to think ahead to where we're going to start seeing some moves. Obviously, you just got Wyatt Langford back. That's nice. Josh Young came off of the injured list, played really well. He's kind of in a slump now.
Marcus is 141, Berger is 179.
Look, if I could just get Wyatt Langford consistently healthy, if I could get Josh Young to hit consistently, and you get him, Seager, Langford, like, okay, well then I think I'm cobbling together enough of a threat that I'm going to anticipate I'm not going to score just 3-4 runs an entire series, but it's not synced up to this point.
The Dallas Mavericks season is finally over, but Luka Doncic gave them multiple losses over the weekend, courtesy of a broken cell phone. What is wrong with the Dallas Stars? The regular season carrying over, the Monday edition of Sean and Bobby. Just getting started. Glad you're waking up with us on The Fan.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Aldama driving. Missed the shot. Oh, Ja Morant just broke the rim with that finish.
Well, so much for that BS medical report. Or as someone tweeted me, he got on that good morning Metroplex. It's Sean and Bobby. Choppy is out this week on his honeymoon in Europe. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. We're live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And it ended post-Luka just like it began with Anthony Davis killing it, crushing it, and then getting hurt. Just like the Rocket debut at the AAC, the Dallas Mavericks season is officially over.
Yeah, that air ball on that three was just that. I mean, that's got to be one of the.
I had money. I got to stop. I got to chill for a sec. But I had money on Anthony Davis not scoring 35 points or more. And if I won that, I would win my entire bet because I hit on the others. And Anthony Davis beat me in the third quarter. By the third quarter, he had put up mid-30s, and I'm like, oh, at some point in the third, I'm like, maybe he'll get banged up. Maybe he'll get dinged up. He was holding the groin at halftime. He was trying to leave the court early. They wouldn't let him do it, and then he gutted it out, props to him, until the end when inevitably he did get hurt.
Do you think him trying to leave the court early will cause Nico to trade him? Because they'll just be like, hey, man, you were not committed to the very end. That's not the Mamba mentality I'm looking for from you, AD.
Well, we got the GIF, meme, video, an all-time picture of Nico when Anthony Davis left. I knew when I took it what it was going to be, and that will be my nonstop Twitter reply to everyone over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, what was the NBA meme said? It was the scar look from Lion King.
Yes.
Just the, like, just disgusted and bewildered. And
he doesn't open his mouth either, Nico.
No.
Never
no.
opens his mouth.
No. I mean, legitimately, unless it's a closed-door press conference with no recorders, I guess.
Does opening your mouth would mean you're eating and consuming things.
Exactly. He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
It was...
They got their ass kicked the entire way.
Yeah, and I mean, it in a lot of ways, like, it felt like if Ja was out there, no matter how... And he didn't play great. Like, I mean,
well, he started off great.
He looked good early, yeah. He finished, what did he finish? 7 of 24? So, I mean, he didn't shoot efficiently, but it felt like one of those games where if Memphis came out, they had Ja at full strength, you figured they would probably win this game. But, yeah, this was a considerable beatdown. Like, 120 to 106 is not totally representative of how much I feel like they got their ass kicked in this game.
And defense wins championships. That's all everyone kept saying. That's all everyone kept typing, tweeting, and screaming. I thought defense wins championships. Defense wins championships. Well, there you go. PJ Washington with a horrible no-show in this game. They just got smoked from beginning to end. I thought Ja was the one who was going to drop 40. They didn't really need him in the second quarter because Desmond Bane was throwing up everything and hitting it. And the Mavs, they never really were close. But AD did ball out.
Yeah, he did.
Until he got hurt.
Yeah, he deserves a ton. I mean, yeah, 40 points in 37 minutes. He was really, really good. But, I mean, this is the reality of the roster that you have right now, too, which is it's not very deep. They all deserve credit for trying like hell, and that's great, but it's also like the same thing I said at the end of the season with the Cowboys when everybody started talking about, well, you got to say they didn't quit on McCarthy. It's like, all right, but not quitting shouldn't be the standard. Like there's got to be better. And this was a team that was in the NBA Finals just, you know, however long ago, 11 months ago, 10, 11 months ago, and now they can't even get into the official playoff seating. That's pathetic, and it's all on Nico.
We have the name of the Luka documentary. I believe that this is the best one I saw on social media. 77 days. Doncic, Dallas, and the destruction of a franchise.
Pretty good.
That to me just hits. 77 days has to be it because the Dallas Mavericks have the season end 77 days after the Luka deal.
It's very poetic. It was a poetic finish in that sense, but man, it's, I mean, obviously.
Had a 70% chance of making the playoffs prior to the trade, according to ESPN analytics.
Boy, and if they would have somehow miraculously beat Memphis and they win their two and then they're into the playoffs and then the Lakers put up that defensive performance that they did against Minnesota, where Minnesota went 21 of 42 from three. And I think I saw the stat yesterday that 28 of those threes were classified as wide open. Yeah, I mean, like Nico probably would have been puffing out his chest a little bit that day, just going, huh, okay, see what happens when defensively that's what you get.
Well, you would have run into the Oklahoma City Thunder, mm-hmm. who beat Memphis by 50. But we are on standby for this morning. Tim McMahon says the State of the Mavs article is coming out, the one where he mentions why Cuban and Dirk are no longer really involved. So he promised that after they were eliminated. I saw him put out there that it's coming out this morning. I don't know whether it'll be before 10 a.m., but hopefully it is.
Oh, I'm just refreshing. Like, I've seriously got ESPN NBA front page open. I'm refreshing that. I'm now going to his Twitter. I need to have that open in another tab and just keep on refreshing it and see if I can find when he posts this. Because I'm genuinely looking forward to the Dirk aspects of what he ends up describing. Because I feel like he was sitting on something when he talked. It's not just the article, but I felt like there's something he feels that Dirk probably needs to get off his chest and something that he wants to get off his chest that will feel bigger than, I think, just he's unhappy Casey Smith is gone.
Yeah, I'm not getting my anticipation level too high for the Cuban part. I think he's just going to get into the language of mm-hmm. how Cuban was still supposed to maintain basketball control, but we don't know the Dirk part.
Mm-mm. No, and that's the part that I think is going to, that's going to be painful. If fans start reading that, I wonder how much blowback, you know, when that article came out, just the various articles have come out at different points. I was about to say, whether it's here's the timeline of what happened with the Luka trade, or when we started slowly getting the transcript of Nico's comments to the media when it was closed door. Every single time a new article comes out, you just start, everybody's reading it, and you'll get somebody who, oh, here's the screen grab of this comment, and here's the screen, and it just starts building like wildfire. This one has a chance to really snowball in them if there's anything in there that makes Mavericks fans feel like you are attacking Dirk Nowitzki.
And the pain happened all over again, right? Just when you think Friday night, okay, let's put this behind us. Well, Saturday, Luka's interview comes out with Malika Andrews, the sit-down with ESPN, as his assistant brings out the shattered phone that he's still using after he found out about the deal.
I thought I would show you the souvenir from that night.
Oh yeah, he's still there.
You hang up the phone the night you're traded and you threw it?
Yes.
Do you have that phone?
Yeah.
You still use that phone?
Yeah, still works.
A symbol of Luka's dedication and longevity to DFW, despite Nico over and over and over suggesting that Luka may have left. You don't throw your phone, you don't shatter it if you're fine with getting dealt, or you're always dreaming about the purple and gold in Los Angeles. That symbol right there drives the stake in even more.
Yeah, that was the, I kept seeing a similar tweet, but yeah, I was like, we don't know that Luka would have re-signed for the Supermax, and then it's like Luka, and then they hold up the still image of him just holding the phone with the crack in the screen.
I like the frugality, though. He's like, it still works. I'm using
it. Yeah, it's good. He's, he's got to be frugal. He just lost $15 million on a house around here. I've never seen a bigger just PR landslide than the one that Luka and the Mavs are going through right now, where every single turn, Luka continues to win, whether it's from the very first day he got to LA, his very first game, and he goes, I'm buying a parking lot and letting Lakers fans park here to and I'm gonna donate all this money to rebuilding basketball courts in LA from the wildfires. He's winning there. He's winning in the don't say anything stupid in the wake. Let them keep digging a hole. And then when he does talk, leaning into the emotion. And then meanwhile, on Dallas' side, they continue to just defiantly
and be cold.
Yeah. It's so cutthroat and like I said, cold's the word for it. That's a good word, because that's exactly what it comes off as. It just comes off as cold and heartless.
Here's Luka recapping with Malika the night it happened.
Well, I was actually in the bed, you know, My TV wasn't working, so I was on iPad watching a movie, about to go to sleep. First thing I said, like, probably three times, is this April 1st.
What were you feeling in that moment?
Sadness, mostly. I was still in shock, like, crazy shock. And I was, I mean, I felt like my heart was broken, honestly.
TV wasn't working. He must have my streaming service. So he was trying to watch and consume in the bed with something else, and then it hit him.
My heart was broken. That's just, again, another way. And I will say that while he's winning the PR battle, I said, man, he's doing this right and this right. I don't know how much he has to try. Like, there's nothing that feels inauthentic or performative about this with him. He is still, and I kind of wonder, as a Lakers fan, are you like,
get over it?
Dude, you're here now. But I haven't seen that. I've seen a bunch of Lakers fans on social media, on Reddit, commenting in various parts of the internet where they're going like, I just feel so bad for Luka. Because everybody does. He never wanted to go.
Here is Luka reacting to the front office criticism that continues to leak. Well, it's not even leaking. Nico quietly, confidentially told the reporters, defense wins championships. No regrets over the deal. Luka on the criticism coming from DFW.
It's just sad the way he's talking right now. I never say anything bad about him, and I just want to move on. The fans, my ex-teammates, I always keep it hard. It's time to for me to move on from that.
Have you spoken to Nico Harrison since you left Dallas?
No.
Have you spoken to him on the night that you were traded?
No.
Was your intention to finish your career in Dallas?
Of course. It's an easy question.
Oh, that's what...
And he says it with the half-smile, like... That's such a ridiculous question. He's not saying it to where you're doubting the truth of it. He's saying it like, yeah, let's get that out of the way. That narrative, let's destroy it.
Again, people, they had the screenshots of the cracked phone. The other one was the kind of little, almost, it looks like an eye roll almost. It's not. It's like him like emotionally catching himself for a sec. Where the question of, did you plan to spend your whole career in Dallas? Like, it was for a quick sec. It's almost like, yeah, like he got sad again and was trying not to tear up. It's just... It's such a brutal look for them every time they talk and every time he talks. It never gets any better. It continues to get worse. And this is just another, you know, this is another touchdown to make it a 150-point lead.
Well, whether you're rooting for Luka, for the Lakers, for Luka against the Lakers, Bobby referenced it, they get absolutely destroyed in game one in L.A., by the T-Wolves.
Here's Dante off the inbound, drifts left, fires at the buzzer and hits the three. What a fine time for his first triple of the night. Dante DiVincenzo puts the Wolves up by 11 at the half.
Wolves radio with the call. The Lakers couldn't match the physicality. Their energy was not there. Luka went off at the start of this one. He ends up with 37, did he have?
Yeah, game, he was offensively, he was great. He was their team in this one. I mean, he was, 37 points, 8 rebounds. He only has the one assist, though, and he did have 5 turnovers, but the three-pointer was falling for him. I heard Windhorst talking about this recently, that Luka, since he got to LA, it feels like has not been the type of complete player that he was in Dallas. Like, he's settling more for just shooting the three. And when the three's going down, he's scoring.
Yep.
When it's not going down, he's having trouble.
Yep.
And that Dallas was the first game, that game back here in Dallas was one of the first games we saw of like, oh, that's Luka. It's getting to the bucket. It's taking the three. It's trying to take advantage of a bunch of different things.
Yep.
This was a little more what we had seen, which is him putting up a bunch of threes, but they were falling. And so put up a big performance. I still think LA wins this series, but yeah, that was a brutal showing from them defensively.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line. Look, my gut feeling was end of the Stars regular season, overreaction. They're not in trouble. 5-1 in game one. How much trouble are they in with game two tonight? Next on 105.3 The Fan.
O'Connor with Taves and Kiwi Rontan. Here's the trailer. Manson towards the net. Deflects. In behind Ottinger for a 3-1 Colorado lead. Devon Taves heading to the crease area. Gets the stick on it. And the Avalanche once again lead by 2.
TNT with the call. Peyton Russell references last week. And it struck the Stars again. For the 8th consecutive series, K-Twiz is sending this as well. Good morning to K-Twiz on the Twitter. 8th consecutive series in the NHL playoffs that the Dallas Stars have lost game one. What? Since 2022, 0-7 in series openers under Pete DeBoer, six of them coming at home. And this is really a 3-1 game against the Avs. And then you got some empty netters. 5-1, they lose in game one. And the game one curse continues, Peyton.
It's so crazy because then in game two, I think I went back and looked it up. They're 5-2 in game twos. It's like they can rebound, but they start these series off so poorly. And you saw it, you know, the other night, Saturday night, you know, the Avalanche had a 5-on-3. It looked like the game was going to get out of hand early. Great defense. And, he got away pretty quickly, and the offense continues to stammer a little bit, man. It's difficult to watch this team play.
It was the game on Saturday night. Like, I mean, that was – I watched it, and I was thinking, okay, this may just be my novice hockey eye. But as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, like, they're playing better than I've seen them play in some of these games down the stretch. Like, this doesn't look as messy as some of the other stuff they've had. And – you know, I was like, all right, let me listen around, see if anybody else sees it sort of the same way. And it seemed like that was kind of the consensus from people who watch the Stars consistently, is that they actually played better. They played a decent game. You had some flukiness, the first goal where there was controversy over the replay of whether it was kicked in or not. You had some decent looks, like Marchment right before the third Colorado goal had a good look that was just stopped. I mean, look, they didn't look completely overwhelmed. Obviously, they get those two empty netters late, but it looked like a more competitive team than we had seen recently.
Now all the pressure. It's like Luka and the Lakers. You're at home. You lose game one. They come into your building. They steal the home court. They steal the home ice. And when does it start to creep into your head? You could dismiss it and write off the end of the regular season. Look, we had already clinched, right? We have injuries. We're melee then. We know what we're going to do. Judge us by the first 75 games of the season. But now you add in a playoff loss like this. And when does it start creeping upstairs? After you finish the regular season 0-5-2, in that stretch, they had four losses at home as well. They were 28-5-3 before it. And I think there's a back and forth when we've been asking people throughout the year. The Stars have to get where? If they don't make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, if they don't win the championship, is it a failure and a success? A failure? I think we all know, even though Choppy will tell you a million times, the NHL playoffs are wonky with the format and anyone can get taken out, you lose a first-round series, and that is a failure of a season.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that given how far they've gone, if they were to lose in the first round, especially after what felt like a team that was prepared to go on a deep run and then goes out and gets Mikko, if they were to fall short, that would be disappointing. Now, it feels like everybody's kind of saying this is just not your normal first round matchup where you're getting Colorado and Dallas. Those are two really good teams. Typically, Dallas has not played great down the stretch. But yeah, I mean, for the eight losses in a row now that they're in the middle of that stretch, and then the eight game one losses in a row, it seems pretty unsustainable.
Pete DeBoer after the loss.
You know, it's probably the best game we played in 3 or 4 weeks. That we were pretty solid. You know, it was one of those nights where, you know, it felt like we got a really good look. You know, they either got a save or we missed. And then, you know, there was a couple. It would go right back down. There was an opportunistic. I mean, two of them were basically, one was off a foot and one was off us. So, but you know what, you got to make your bounces in the playoffs and, they work for their bounces tonight. We've got to work for some bounces around the net.
Pete does not sound angry yet.
You're supposed to cut off my mic during hockey segments.
That's baby. Right. It was me cutting off the mic. Pete does not sound too upset yet. So calm, cool. Game two tonight at 8:30 AAC.
Yeah, that's probably because he saw the money puck deserved to win-o-meter and saw that Dallas was 57%. They should have won this game.
Then he should have been upset. There you go. You can't even troll correctly.
It means that they played well, so he's not worried. They played well.
Guys, on the fan text, I mean, there's some optimism from the Tolos. 2-on-4, Blackwood was an absolute monster and goaltender, which was true. You know, he had some amazing saves there all throughout the night. You know, congrats to him. And then the 9-7-2 game was 2-1 with 10 minutes left. It was a different game. Then it's not a game that was carried over from the end of the season. So optimism from the Tolos here.
By the way, we were talking last week, getting ready for the game. I forgot to mention, I was listening to G-Bag, and boy, Walchuk was teeing off a little bit on Otter. He's like, look, we got to stop just holding on to game seven against Calgary from a couple years ago. Like, he's got to start stepping up. He's got to be better.
Whoa.
And so he was a little fed up with Otter, but that was one of the, I will say that was one of the things that when I was reading around and like looking and said, okay, are people seeing the game similar to the way I was? One of the common themes you saw from Stars fans, it looked like over the weekend, was the idea that goalie was the area where you were supposed to have a bit of an advantage because he hadn't, you know, been to the playoffs before. And that was supposed to be an area where, all right, you've got Otter's experience, things like that. And in the first game, you didn't have the better goalie.
Did you guys see the DeMar DeRozan incident? DeMar DeRozan at a sushi place in California, and this internet troll goes up to him with the cell phone out and the light on.
The flash.
And DeMar is sitting there looking at his phone, and this was rapid response time. I mean, it was a second or less. DeMar looks up, sees the phone in his face with the flash, immediately reaches out and knocks the phone out of this guy's hand. All of a sudden, in this troll's video, the next scene cuts to him in the ambulance with like a neck brace or some type of exaggerated look. And this loser is getting destroyed on social media, which I'm happy about, even though DeMar DeRozan, it's kind of like the Jason Kelce incident. I guess legally, he may have an issue, but real world justice, that's what you do. Knock it out of his hand. Get your phone out of the man's face. Don't walk up on him. DeMar's like, hey, don't walk up on me like that. And people are like, oh, they forgot DeMar was from Compton. They forgot that.
Yeah, I wish we had, I wish there was just,
Drake knows.
I wish there was just more, basically more common sense with things like this. Now, obviously, Jason Kelce, for instance, didn't end up getting in trouble. We'll see if DeMar DeRozan gets in any sort of trouble. But there's got to be some level of nuance and not just so black and white with the reading of some of these laws to where it's like, there's legitimate reasons to snap on somebody and
oh, there's sing. Laws getting ignored. It can happen.
Yeah, no, it definitely happens. But I mean, I wish we would see that a little more consistently where there's a little bit more context or understanding of the context that's going into it. Just saying like, yeah, at some point you've got to just respect people's privacy though.
Well, this was an Ask Reddit question, I believe, last week. What's, you know, legally wrong but morally right? And this is 100% the same thing.
Yes.
Like, if you're getting my face with your phone, I don't care what it is you have on your body. Like, I'm going to smack it out of your face. That's the go-to. You'd rather me punch you and knock you out? No, I'm hitting the phone out of your face. If it breaks, go buy a new one.
Attention. Attention is that drug. Like, why walk up on someone like that? Even if I was sitting in a restaurant with Nico, you'd have to have people around me, or I'd have to be really drunk, like with Jay Glazer, to yell something at him. Like, I'm not going up to harass people out in public, especially when I'm sitting here in my 40s.
Nico's a little different. I might harass Nico in public because they can't throw me out of the restaurant, I don't think, like they can the arena. So
speaking of celebrity criticism, this trip to space, this female trip to space will not go away.
No.
We were watching it during the show, and I was like, okay, how many people are caring about this? This thing keeps being talked about, Bobby, even though it was like a 5-minute event.
No, this is ridiculous. So Katy Perry's been getting crushed for this whole thing, just her in
general.
For
what? They were saying, it's fake. It's a conspiracy. She was promoting an album. She got back home and kissed the earth. What are they upset with Katy Perry about?
It's all of that. It's the, like,
she took a spot from longtime people on the space program.
So a lot of it is the issue of, like, she's taking selfies up there for her Instagram. Meanwhile, there's like a crew clearly documenting it. So it's just this like navel gazing. It's coming back down, kissing the earth, like, oh my gosh, land, we're home. And it's just eye roll inducing to a lot of people.
I mean, you would take pictures though if you were up there. Same thing. You're in space.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, I would be taking pictures. But if you've got a hired camera crew to like document this whole thing, it's not necessarily like for your social media cloud. So I get that. But yeah, they've gotten crushed for just their entire response to it. And then we recently got, over the weekend, people were flipping out over Gayle King. So Gayle King, who was up there, Oprah's buddy, which, is that her whole bio? Is that her whole career?
Yes.
Just she's Oprah. I don't know what she did otherwise. But
she's on one of those shows.
She is now. Yeah, I just didn't know before, like, what got her to where she was. But she had like gotten crushed this weekend because she was given some interview on a red carpet where she had talked about that, you know, well, you know, as an astronaut, which is a little weird to call myself an astronaut, but, you know, as an astronaut, and people are just starting to lose their S over the idea of just like, you guys are so out of touch and so unaware of what people think about you. This isn't anything that...
Because I thought Katy Perry was, like, beloved. Doesn't she have the most followers on Twitter or one of those things? I thought there was no hate towards Katy Perry, but then you go with Gayle King and Bezos' wife. And by the way, Amazon has really they've really dropped off lately. I've never had more day delays. They told me a package got delivered the other day. I had like a Blackstone cover for the grill. They're like, how do you like it? I'm like, you never sent it. Amazon, it feels like the quality's dropped off a little bit. That's not a political statement.
I don't disagree. We've had a lot more stuff delayed or just canceled. They're like, oh, it's not in stock or whatever else. On Katy Perry's front, I don't know when it switched, but yeah, it definitely felt like it switched even before this.
Really?
Yeah, because her music, like if you notice, like, I mean, she's had a couple albums come out or a couple singles come out over the last couple years that have not blown up the way they used to. It used to be automatic. Oh, Katy Perry's got a new song that's going to number one. Or, oh, that's going to be in the top 10. And it's really not that anymore. In fact, Daily Beast had a write-up the other day with the headline, why does everyone hate Katy Perry so much?
Oh.
Which is just, they're talking about basically star fatigue and her whole reaction to things. But I think she had a couple different controversies too. Over the last couple of years in regards to just discussions she had about Orlando Bloom, who she's married to, some of the Russell Brand stuff. I think there's some pretty rabid Russell Brand fans out there who she used to be with, who I think they feel like, oh, you're setting him up, or it's revisionist history the way you talk about that relationship that you had. But yeah, I mean, she is up there right now as I feel like one of the more consistently hated celebrities that are out there.
And in case you're just waking up with us, as part of the 6 a.m. club, Pope Francis passing away at the age of 88. The Vatican announced that this morning. So there's RJ Choppy out there in Italy as all the soccer was paused after this news broke. Pope Francis passing away at the age of 88.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, in the past when we've had this happen, whether it be a death or like when Pope Benedict retired, essentially, I'm trying to think how long the process typically goes. I think the voting process and things they do, it's usually like a 2 to 3 week thing, if I'm remembering correctly. But yeah, I mean, this will just open up an entire new, election, quote unquote, where we're going to have all the eyes of the world overseas for it.
Did you go to church yesterday?
I did not, no.
How do you decide when to go? Because there was a period of time where you were going to Chiafalo's church all the time, every weekend it felt like.
I overslept is what happened. We all overslept. We intended to go. And then I woke up because
Okay, take me through your sleeping schedule yesterday, because you responded at like 7:15 mm-hmm. to a text I had about a breakfast place. And then, I don't know.
I woke.
You're the latest sleeping mid 30s person I know. You'll wake up at noon. What are you, a freaking college freshman?
No, it's because typically I run on such little sleep as it is. Like I'm just like, all right, power through. And then every now and then, my body just goes, all right, you're catching up now, and like you don't have a choice. So I'd woken up and I'd looked and I'd texted you back, and I was like, I still got time to get in a little bit extra sleep. And I would sleep, and then I was out for another like 3.5 hours. And so that's just it.
What had you stayed up to the night before?
It wasn't even the night before. I went to bed at a decent hour the night before. I thought I was going to be good. But like I say, if I haven't gone with sleep for a little while, it'll be these 12-hour sessions that I sleep.
Now, ever since I started working morning drive, so almost 3 years now, you know, my sleeping on the weekends is nothing now. I don't have kids or anything, but I'll
be
up.
You cannot sleep in, or you can?
I cannot. No, I'm up by 7:15, 7:30 on Saturdays and Sundays.
Yes.
So it's awful. But, I mean, I could go sleep at 2 a.m. I'm still up, you know, crack of dawn.
Honestly, what really screwed me up was the nap I took. I don't normally take naps like you and Peyton do during the day. So when I took that nap on Thursday or whatever that was, I knocked out for like 4 hours. And then that screwed me up to where I didn't sleep on Friday. So you remember I got in here on Friday. I was like, I haven't slept since 4 o'clock yesterday. I don't think I fell asleep that night till 10:30. So, yeah. I mean, I was on like 30 hours without sleeping.
It is NFL draft week. Round one officially going down on Thursday. We'll be at different Pluckers locations throughout the FW. I'll be with Jake Rietma in Mesquite, and Bobby will be working all the selections at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. And speaking of college football, the big transfer has officially happened. We continue to get you set for the draft with a college football kegger next on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan.